already. Turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians in the second chapter. I'm going to read the whole passage from verse 11 all the way through verse 22. But we're just going to focus on one verse. We're just going to really talk about one verse and really one idea within that verse. And it's really something that you know, but sometimes we know stuff, but we don't let it grip us. And we don't let it control us and guide us and really guard us, if I could say it that way, and really just, you know, you revisit some things. You think maybe of like your favorite movie, and then you haven't watched it in a while, and you think about it again. You go, now I know why I like that thing. You're cheering and shouting. You know what's going to happen. But it grips you. It moves you. And this passage, we've been studying the book of Ephesians on Wednesday nights, and we just finished chapter 2. We're going to start chapter 3 next week. But a couple of weeks ago, I just felt really stirred about this. And ever since then, I have. And I want to get this idea across to you and see if it doesn't move you too. It ought to. And we'll call today's message, You Have an Audience with God. You have an audience with God. So let's stand for the reading of the Word. Again, I'll read verses 11 through the end of the chapter, verse 22. But what we'll do is just focus on just verse 18. So I will emphasize that when we get there. Let's hear the Word of the Lord. It's the Bible, folks. Know what I'm saying? Exactly. Right on. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And He came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through Him, we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but your fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God, for God, by the Spirit, Heavenly Father. As we stand now in Your presence, humbly we ask that You'd give us a tremendous blessing of understanding where we are, what we're doing, and who our inside man is. And also a tremendous burden that we would use this access, that we would not run off into the corner, but we'd run right to the throne. We are Your children. We ask these things in the name of Your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. You ever had a problem, but you knew a guy? You know, you have this little issue and things like that, and you talk to Ed, or you talk to Melissa, you talk to Dan, you talk to Marty, you talk to someone and say, hey man, I got this deal. You know a guy? Yeah, I know a guy. I know a guy. Right? You ever been that way? You had a problem and you knew someone that could really help you out? That's a satisfying feeling and a real relief. I'll just say it out loud. You know, if something's going on with your AC, we got a guy. You know what I'm saying? You got a pest thing, we got a guy. You got a plumbing thing, we used to have a guy, now we're getting another guy. Right? There's lots of things that are like that. We know that, right? But the truth is that while we know certain people that can help us with certain things, most of us don't really have access to the best doctors, the best lawyers, you know, the key politicians, the people that can really pull the strings for you. You know, like immigration and naturalization. If you just knew somebody, you know, they could just make it happen. Or, you know, you can't pay your light bill, but you know Bill Gates. You don't have to worry about your light bill, probably. That type of thing. And you know, you hear about these people that get off scot-free, and you know they're guilty as sin, and yet they had, you know, F. Lee Bailey or whoever. You know, they had the, you know, Atticus Finch, is that the guy's name? You know? They had the great lawyer, the great doctor, that kind of thing. We talk about health care, and it's like, well, we have the best health care in the world, but yeah, but you don't have access to it. You know? You hear people, you know, passing away. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. I just remembered that. Member of our congregation. You know, that's the thing. It's like, if you knew if you had that access, you'd be okay. And as good as it could be, it would be. But most of us never get to know somebody who's world famous or super rich or influential. Even if we do know somebody like that, very few people, and I doubt any of us, unless you're still dreaming you're going to be the president, which you might be, Scotty, but the point is that very few of us actually run in those circles of power. Very few of us are actually the string pullers, as it were. Am I right? I mean, now, we're just the little people, some of us more than others. It should be funny. I'm like 5 foot tall, you know? Anyway, we may do some great things and meet some great people. We simply don't have the benefits of being one of the elites in our society. And so what does that mean? That means our access is limited. Our access is limited. You know, it can't be like, well, get the shuttle, get my airplane, get me the Learjet, and I'll go, you know, I'll go watch the premiere over in Paris. No. You spend your whole life saving up to go to Paris. You spend more money than you wanted to. You come back miserable because you had a good time, but now you're back in life. You don't get a jet set all over the place. Our access is limited, amen? But now, since our access is limited, so is our influence. Is that right? Now, you see, let me try to illustrate this for you. There's a big difference between going on a tour of the White House and being asked to dinner at the White House. Right? And there's a difference between being introduced to the president and getting to know the president. There's a big difference between the vice president introducing you to the president as a guest and the vice president introducing you as his personal and trusted friend. Right? Think about that. Now, which of these people do you think has the greatest chance to influence the president? Of course, actually being the vice president gives you the best chance. Imagine having a daily audience with someone who could really make things happen. I wrecked my car. I got a guy. Well, I got this little ticket here. I got a guy. Well, you know, I need this. I can help that. I want to get my work published, my book. If I knew the publisher at Baker Books, you know, I wouldn't be self-publishing all these books. They'd be, you know, on the New York Times non-bestseller list. But if you knew a guy, if you knew somebody, if you had access, sometimes we just miss opportunities because they're the right guy, the right time, the right person, the right thing to say. We just don't have it. We just could have been there. Oh, I would have done this, that type of thing. But you don't have to imagine. In spite of our worldly limitations and all the prejudices out there, this is going to be an encouraging sermon for you. All Christians have an access to the greatest relationship anyone could ever have. And we have a guy on the inside and take care of everything for us. We have an audience with God. Now, looking here at verse 18. Look at verse 18 carefully. It says, "For through Him..." Who does that mean? That's Christ, right? "For through Him, we both..." We'll cover that. "...have access in one Spirit to the Father." Who do you see there? You see Father, Son, and Spirit. Christians have come into fellowship with the triune Godhead. Different roles there. Different persons. One essence, but different economy. They're doing different things there. Do you see that? Does it make any sense if it's just one person playing around? It's one what, three who's. In Christ, we've entered into a relationship with the Father, Son, and Spirit. Let's show some of the distinction there, shall we? 1 John 1:3, and you don't have to get there. I'll be there and you can get the notes later. 1 John 1:3 says, "That with which we have seen and heard and proclaimed to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ." You say, well, where's the Spirit there? Let's look a little further at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Yeah, I know the Trinity is exciting stuff, actually, if you study it.
So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation, there's that word again, fellowship is what it means, with the Spirit, any affection and sympathy. Fellowship with the Spirit. And of course, on our monitor here during the morning where we're running the announcements, we have 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14 here. We see all three of them involved here. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the koinonia, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you all. You see, God is one. God had to establish mono... You still with me? This is the good part, but we're getting to the good part. Okay? Learn. Learn. If there was a movie that you really liked, and you really liked the punchline and all that, and there was some other stuff that's peripheral and all that, you'd still like it because you know here it comes. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Thanks for getting the memo there. And you. Yellow. So, he had to establish monotheism. If you ever seen by the Wailing Wall there, you see the Jews and they're doing the head up and down like this and all that. What they're doing is repeating the Shema. The Shema is Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Lord. So he established monotheism. And then in the New Testament, though, we see that this one God has three distinct, not separate, but distinct persons. One essence, but three persons. We see that because of Jesus Christ. That's why they were trying to kill him. Don't ever let your people tell you that he didn't say he was God. That's why they were trying to kill him. He made himself as God. That was the point. And then, of course, we see the Holy Spirit. He goes, I won't leave you. The Father will send another helper. Right? The Holy Spirit. So God is one, but he's eternally existed as three distinct persons. We worship the one God as he's revealed himself to be a Trinity. I'm not going to go on and on about that. But here we see all three persons of the Trinity at work. For through him, right, we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. To the Father. You ever wonder why we pray to the Father? We don't pray to Jesus or the Holy Spirit. We pray in the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name, but we are praying to the Father. You'll hear me address all my prayers, Heavenly Father. There's something to that, and we see it here in this verse. All three of the persons are at work. Through the means of the Son, in the realm of the Spirit, we're brought to the place where we have access to the Father. This is what I want to get through your head today. This is not an amorphous, well, you know, there's Jesus out there, Holy Spirit doing something. You are asking the Father. You have access to the Father, the big guy. Now, functionally, the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, you know, essentially they're the exact same. Same essence. But functionally, they're different. The Father is the Father. The Son is the Son. The Spirit proceeds from both. There's a lot of theology in there, but I just won't even go there. Point is this is about access to the Father. It's not just as if, you know, Jesus is mediating for you and doing all that. He is, but he has presented you to the Father, and now you go directly to him. You go through the throne room. Say, my Father. My Father. You may have had a terrible childhood. Your father may have beaten you. Your father may have raped you. Your father may have done all kinds of terrible things to you. You might not have known him. He might have passed away. But the Bible says that if, Psalm 27:10, even if my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. The Lord will take me up. I know many people that have had such a hard relationship with calling God Father. I want to change that for you today. The Father has employed everything in His power, the whole Trinity, to bring you access to Him. We sang it this morning, rocking in the loving arms of Jesus, and the Father has His arms around Jesus, and they're just looking at you. What do you need, sugar? Oh, honey, come on. Are you hearing me? All we're doing is laying background work. We're coming. Again, because of what Christ has done in the power of the Holy Spirit, we have a relationship with God. I want to say something about your salvation. You know your salvation was a means to an end? Your salvation was a means to an end. It's not the end point. What's the goal here? The goal is intimate access with the Father. It says, for through Him, we both, that's Jew and Gentile, we're going to get there, have access. We're going to explain that. That'll blow you up right there. In one Spirit to the Father. That's what salvation was for, to bring us to the Father. It says in 1 Peter 3:18, He died that He might bring us to God, the meaning the Father. Now think about this. The Lord Jesus is the first one who used the term Father in the individual sense, so far as we know. We don't see it recorded anywhere else before, but Jesus says, my Father. Now He's God. And yet He has a Father. He's Almighty God, may I say it that way. Almighty God. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Almighty God.
He's Almighty God. And yet he's the first one who says, Father, because he wants to give you an idea of this relationship, and he wants to bring you into that relationship, and we're going to see that relationship here at the end of the sermon. But let's look at these phrases individually. Are you with me? It says, for through him, this means Christ, our access to the Father required the work of the Son. Required the work of the Son. Now, it requires two things, not just forgiveness, but righteousness. You see, our forgiveness is based on the death of Jesus, but the righteousness is based on the life of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he that knew no sin, that's Christ, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know, people say, oh, yeah, they just want to brush you off. Oh, I have a tract. I'm already a Christian. No, give me a tract and pass it on to somebody. Oh, no, you don't have to tell me. I'm a Christian. Well, what makes you a Christian? Well, I'm forgiven of my sins. That's not enough. Ooh, shake them up. A lot of fools out there think they know. They just they know a few doctrines, and they haven't understood that it's not just the forgiveness of your sin, it's the perfect righteousness of Christ that gets you access to the Father. You see, you can be invited to the restaurant, but if you don't have the clothes, you ain't going in. I'm going to be speaking at some kind of big event kind of thing on Friday, and I'm doing the invitation, and it's a big, you know, to-do dinner and everything like that. And so I'm invited to go. But if all I had was jeans and a shirt, I'm not going to go there with that. Ladies, I can prove it. Well, I don't have anything to wear. And the guy goes, I'm going to kill you. You do have plenty to wear. Look at how you have. And what do we say? You know it. You have a closet full of clothes. You're invading my closet. She goes, no, I don't have anything for this event. For this event. You see, Jesus, the death of Jesus paid for the sin, right? For our forgiveness. But the life of Jesus counts in our place for righteousness that gives us this access. So he had to do two things there. For through him, are you with me? Now it says, for through him. Think about that. For through him, not through Buddha, not through Krishna, not through, well, I'm just going to be sincere. Not through I'm just going to live a good life. Not through I did the Ten Commandments. Not I did the Sermon on the Mount. Not I read my Bible every day. Not that I took a communion. Not that I was a member of this church or that church. Not because I was a good little boy or girl. Not because I witnessed to people. For through him. You cannot come to God directly without him. It says it very simple. You have to have a mediator. John 14:6 says, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So for through him, that's how we have access to the Father. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, there's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus opens the door for our access, both in salvation and also in our ongoing relationship. Romans 3:38-34 says, he's interceding for us. Hebrews 4:16 we read this morning. We can come boldly before the throne of grace because we have a high priest. Hebrews 7:25 says, he ever lives to make intercession for us. We have an advocate for the with the Father. 1 John 2:2. All these types of verses are telling you that Jesus is the one that opens the door. But it's not just we are in the court, but we are a member of the royal court. We have this access, but now we are there. Our ongoing relationship depends on Christ. It says, for through him. Have we got that? It's about Jesus. Now it says, we both. Who's it talking about there? Well, if you've been studying with us or even just reading the context we read this morning, you realize that it's talking about Jews and Gentiles. All right? The way of salvation began to be shown to the Jews, and God chose a people, but he has furthered the revelation and said, this is what's going on. But what was going on before that time is Jews looked at Gentiles as scum, and Gentiles looked at Jews the same way. There's open hostility between Jews and Gentiles. The social barriers between them cut both ways. You saw it earlier in our text here. Jews referred to Gentiles as the uncircumcision and themselves as the circumcision. Or they referred to them as dogs. Dogs. Even Jesus, we covered that in another sermon, says, am I supposed to give my bread to the dogs? Challenging the woman to realize that yes, he was bringing everyone into the fold. The Gentiles also made these distinctions. They called those whose culture reflected theirs Greeks. So when you see it in there, it doesn't mean just Greeks. It means people that weren't Jews, Gentiles. You know, we're the cultural elite. These Jews, they were slave people. They're dogs. They're under Roman oppression. They're the ones that are the dogs. They classified others as inferior and called them barbarians. You'll see that in Romans chapter 1. Paul says, you know,
barbarians. I owe them a debt too. And in Colossians 3, they're not barbarians. We're all one in Christ Jesus. So there's this open hostility there. So when it says we both, this is a big thing at that time. But get hold of that. Because it was a big thing at the time, you think, well, it's not now. We know Jews or Gentiles can be saved. Hold on. Because we both means a couple of other things as well. We both. Now, verse 14 through 16, are you with me? Somebody. Explain how the death of Christ broke down all the sinful, social, and spiritual barriers. You see, we could have the debt paid for, but if we're not in the fraternity, we're not going to the fraternity party. Right? We could have everything, you know, all our ducks lined in the row, but if we are not the right gender, the right race, the right class, the right whatever, we can't get in. Right? So there was this huge spiritual barrier, but even when the spiritual barrier was knocked down, the sin, you know, Jesus Christ paid for the sin, and even Jews knew that, some Jews were holding against Gentiles and saying, yeah, but you still got to be like us. There were still all these social barriers. You're without covenants. You're without this. You have no hope. You're not one of us. Of course, Jesus made one new man. One new man. But the social, sinful, and spiritual barriers between God and man and Jew and Gentile have been broken down. Now, in verse 17 through 22, Paul explains how Christ is the source of our shared blessing. There's not two ways of salvation. There's not, Jews don't really have to know Jesus. There's not, you know, they're chosen and so they're in. It's not like that at all. And it's not like Gentiles have to become like Jews. It's not like that at all. The blessings in verses 17 through 22 are the basis of our unity. All Christians have same access, the same access to and through the Trinity. Both individual Gentiles and Jews are given entrance in the presence of God. And all believers are standing together as one people. The old distinctions have no significance. Zero significance. Don't get me trying to wear a yarmulke. If you want to do that, you want to be a Christian, fine. Don't get me trying to do it. Don't get me thinking I got to do the feast and I got to do the holy days and all that. I don't got to do that. Jesus did those for me. That does not make you more spiritual. That makes you more superstitious in a lot of cases. Let me tell you. Turn to chapter 4. Ephesians 4, let me read 4 through 6. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6, because this epistle is a lot about that very thing. He says, there is one body. Who's that one body? It's the body of Christ. That's the Lord Jesus. And one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now, here's the thing. We both. Yes, it meant Jew and Gentile, but you know what we both means? It means we all. We all. There's only three kinds of people in the world: unbelieving Jews, unbelieving Gentiles, and the Church of God, 1 Corinthians 10:32. We both means we all. There is no holy hierarchy. Even though some Jews knew that some Gentiles were saved, and some Gentiles knew that some Jews were saved, some people are still treating other people like second-class citizens, but you are not a second-class citizen. You have an all-access pass. You have influence with God. When it says, but you, right? I mean, we both means we all. It means, but you do too. You have access in one Spirit to the Father. But let me say something else. We all means we don't. What do I mean we don't? We don't have to rely on a sacerdotal system. What's a sacerdotal system? That means the power of the priesthood. I don't need a priest to absolve me. I don't need him to bless him a cracker and some wine and say it's Jesus. I don't need that. There's the priesthood of all believers. All believers. We both doesn't mean we both just the Pope and the Cardinals. We both doesn't mean just the pastor of the church and one of the deacons. We both does not mean just a few of the elders and a few of the choice people, but I've only been coming here for a month, so no way. Doesn't mean that at all. We both means we don't have to rely on other people. We can go right to the Lord. The priesthood of all believers means that every Christian has his or her own personal relationship with God without having anyone to have to go between. 1 Peter 2:9 says we're a royal priesthood, a chosen nation, a people. Revelation 1, 5, and 6 says this: to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, has made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The world tries to limit you, does it not? Well, you didn't serve in the military. You're not as good as me. Well, you weren't a teacher, so you can't tell me how to teach. Well, you're not a woman, so you can't tell me what a mother feels like. Well, there's a thousand. You're not a father. You don't know. You didn't have children. You didn't serve this way. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. You didn't go to this school. Right? You're not the right age. You're not the right gender. The world tries to limit you. It's all about that, is it not? Oh, you look a certain way, you act a certain way, whatever. The worldly system of access is biased and irresponsible. How do some of these people have a seat of power? They're stupid. I didn't say anything about county government. What are you saying? Let's see if they listen. But the worldly system of access is biased and irresponsible. You could be a person that's going into the nightclub. Don't, by the way. But you could be a person that's going into the nightclub and you had a load of cash. You're bringing all your friends. You're going to spend. You're going to make it rain. And yet, you know, since you look like me, you're short and you're fat and you're old and you're losing your hair, you know, I ain't getting behind that velvet rope. Right? I'm 10 times as charismatic as Peter, but Peter looks 10 times as good as me. So he's getting in, and I'm sitting there going, wait, man, I was going to spend my money. I ain't never coming back here again. Doesn't the world try to limit you based on what you do, how you look, and things like that? It tries to limit you. But here, we have access to the Father. He's the one that matters. I don't care about your stinking little Kool-Aid party. I'm at the King's party. Again, your background, your pedigree, and who you know matter a great deal in this world. But in Christ, no academic, educational, intellectual, social, situational, financial, familial, racial, gender, age, class, or status issues can keep you from God. People try and marginalize you. Say, well, yeah, you don't speak the language so good. Eh. Ooh, you changed your hair? Oh. You know, they try to find any way they can to keep you out of the circle. But God's doing everything in His power to get you into the circle. People try and marginalize you, but God has qualified you. You might want to remember that one. Everybody else says you're not worthy. God says you're qualified. Colossians 1:12 says the Father has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints. What's the inheritance of the saints? It's everything. You get it all. Come on down. You get it all. And you get Him. And He is your inheritance, and you are His. And He protects His inheritance. You're qualified. You're pre-qualified. Oh, I have this debt, I have this debt. Christ has got you. Amen? In Christ, there's no limitations. Only your own desire to please and to praise and to pursue God. I stumbled over my words there. In Christ, there's no limitations. Only our own desire to please, to praise, and to pursue God. All are equal at the cross because all equally need the cross. Oh, we're not done. You think, hey, I know all this. I'm saved. You know, I pray every day. Wait, hold on. Hold on. Again, all are equal at the cross because all equally need the cross. Yes, we still have problems, but you have somebody. You know somebody, the Almighty God, and He can fix your problems. He's just as interested in your seemingly small and secret battles as He is in the overwhelming and overt battles. Like I said this morning, there's nothing so big that it worries Him. There's nothing so small that it annoys Him. He wants you to come to Him. No struggle is too small. No battle is too big. No sin is insignificant, but no sin is insurmountable. God is close enough to enter into your little world, but big enough to handle any problem. Now we're going to hit this next phrase here. It says, have access. What's going on here? Jesus says, let me introduce you to my Father. He'll know what to do. Jesus, you know, I need help. And let's go talk to my dad. He knows what to do. Oh, he's the guy. You know, there's a problem going on at the summer camp or the spring camp, and this person and this person, this person. Just find Ed. Just find Ed. Of course, I'd say, what did Richard tell you? You know, oh, no, Richard's at a tree. Oh, okay. Point is you know somebody. And Jesus is introducing you to the Father. It's all His plan. After everything has been put under Jesus' feet, He submits Himself to the Father, that the Father might be all in all. It says that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of the Father. The Father. Who's your daddy? I know in whom I believe. Jesus says, let me introduce you to my Father. He'll know what to do. Look at have access. Now, this is a reference to a royal court scene in which a person is granted an audience with the king. Dun, 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 dun. Here, O king, here is Ed. We present him to you. He's from the town of, you know, Hernando and all of that kind of thing. Now, the imagery also points to the Old Testament sacrificial system. where, you know, they would bring their gifts so they could meet God, to the tent of meeting, it says. But here, our access is not just a past event. We weren't just presented to the Father, say, this is a saved one on account of me. This one's mine. I got him. It's an ongoing thing. Look at Ephesians. You're still there. Look at chapter 3, verse 12. Anybody with me? In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. It's not just, you were presented in the court, now go sit over here in the little chair. Oh, let's meet the pastor. Yeah, you go, you know, Ben's more important. You sit here and you go sit over there. I don't like you. No. You're not just introduced. You're integrated. You have access. It's an ongoing thing. Romans 5, 2 says something very similar. Let me see if I can get there real quick. Romans 5, verse 2. Are you with me? I know I gotta keep saying that. But come on, this is what God's saying to you today. Keep with it. It says, through him, that's Christ again, we also obtain access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not just we were, not just we will be, but we are in the throne room of God right now. Now, this is an approach. An introduction to a relationship. Wouldn't you like that? It's like, okay, I need to know this person because, you know, they're going to help me do that. Well, here, I'll introduce you. Then you're like, oh boy, but they're just going to say, oh hey, nice to meet you, and then go on your way. How are you going to get to continue to talk to them? They're a busy person. Here we have access. Not just the introduction, but the integration. Do you understand me? Jesus paid the price of admission, and now Jesus presents us to the Father. Not as just somebody, but as somebody that he is familiar with. Again, it's not just the vice president introducing you to the president. It's the vice president introducing you to the president as his trusted friend. So then the president knows, I can trust him. This guy put his word on it. He stands by him. You have a relationship with royalty. You're not only introduced to the heavenly court, you're a member of the heavenly court for eternity. You're not crashing the party. You're part of the party. You're not just a visitor, and you're not just an honored guest. You are royalty. You are pleasing in the Father's sight on account of Christ. For through him, we all that are Christians, we both, means we all have access. And God can hear a thousand, a million, a billion things all at once and do it all at once. He's God. All believers have the same and equal access. The question now, hello application, seminarians out there, this is called the application portion. The question is if you will use the access. Now, you say, well, I pray every day. And here we go. The problem is when we are in rebellion. Not that God won't hear you, but let me explain something. Let me illustrate this to you. If you're saved, we've already talked about this, you have been introduced to the Father by the Son, right? So you're already in the throne room, right? Okay, so here you are. You have access. You've been introduced. You're sitting around, and you're in the court, and let's say, you know, you're here, and everybody's here, and there's God over here. Okay, you're part of the deal. Got it? But rebellion is like running away from the throne, and repentance is like running to the throne. So you're in the court, but you're scuttling around, and ooh, I like this, I'm going to chase that. God's sitting here, he's the king of the universe, and you're sitting over here looking at a bug in the corner. It's not going to be in heaven, by the way, but we're talking about spiritually. You get my point. And we're with our nose in the corner going, oh, this is cool, look at this. Wow, this is nice stitching and all this. Yeah, God, yeah. That's what sin is. That's what rebellion is. It's running away from the throne. Repentance is running to the throne. Does that help you? Uh-huh. You see, like I said before, access doesn't mean we don't sin. We don't have to go hide off in a corner somewhere. We can have a real, intimate, vital relationship with God. You don't have to run from him. You can run right to him. I did something wrong. He already knows. You're in the courtroom. It's not like he can't see. Haven't you ever had that? And your children, they don't know that you're watching them, and they're putting that fork in that toaster again or whatever they're doing. And you're like, here it comes, here it comes. And you're right there. If they would just turn around, oh my God, I did this and I did that and I did wrong. All right. First of all, you don't do that because it does this. Second of all, don't ever touch the toaster again. Keep just stay here. When I say stay in the room, when I say time to go to bed, it's time to go to bed. Does that change their love for you? No. But you have a real relationship. You just reestablish the fellowship. Instead of running away from God, you run to God. You've already been introduced. He knows who you are. He's watching what you do. But he wants you to draw near to him. And if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. It just means you can pay attention. He's already near to you. He's in your heart if you're a Christian. Jesus is our inside guy. He's got us covered. Again, access requires more than forgiveness. It requires righteousness. And access is more than just an introduction. Again, you could be going to the president's ball, but if you don't have a suit and a tie or a monkey suit or whatever you got to wear, you're not going to go. And ladies, you buy the special shoes. Well, I got to get shoes. We're going to the concert. We're going to this. You're going to get shoes for that? Yeah. Well, Cindy's going to be there. Well, she's known you for 20 years. I know, but Now you might buy something special for a special event. A dress for an occasional event, but you have to have a standard of dress for an ongoing event. You have to wear the uniform if you're going to play on the team. Get it? But in Christ, we have the right clothes. Jesus is our inside man. He's taking care of the whole deal for us. You see, it's not just who we are as much as it is whose we are. We know somebody on the inside. And we don't just know of him, we know him. And we can get to know him better, and we will know him better. You see, you think about access this way. All right, here I am after the sermon. And I'm going to talk to people, and they're going to come talk to me and things like that. All right? So people are waiting in line and things like that. But see, access isn't just that. Access means you can bend the ear of the king. You're already right there and say, look, I need you to check the AC filters. You told me to keep checking on you on that. And so I'm doing that. There we go. You have their ear. You have friends that you know better than other people. And like if I wanted to borrow something from Ben Carmichael, all right, I come to Ben, come to Lori and all that. But now Zach is here and Zach is kind of hanging out with them now. So when they go home, I'd like some of those potato chips. I'm not even in the house. I have access. I could do it, but I'm not right there bending the ear saying, I really want some potato chips. You see, we have access. It's not like, okay, here comes this one person, and oh, they're a little better, so you get back in line there, Bill. No. You're right there with him. You can bend his ear. You have the ear of the king. It says, not only have you been introduced, you're sitting on his lap. You get the point? If we would just realize that and realize, well, then how come sometimes I pray? Because you're running off the other way. Just repent and say, Lord, I'm going to thank you for what I have before I ask you for what I need. I'm going to tell you what I've done wrong before I ask you to make it right. I'm going to praise you for who you are and thank before I even ask you and thank you for what you do. You know a guy. You have the ear of the king. Now look at the last couple of phrases here. In one spirit. In one spirit. How is the access communicated? It's through the experience of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's the common experience of everyone, of communion. One spirit, by Jew and Gentile alike, that attests to the fact that God has done something in creating the body of Christ. It says, and we'll talk about this at Pentecost Sunday here in a few weeks, for by one spirit we are all baptized into one body and have all been made to drink of one spirit. Our worship, our prayer, and our growth are empowered by the Spirit. Now, we can go on and on about that, but let's get to this last phrase here. To the Father. Access to the Father. Someone say access. Then say to the Father. Now let's say it all together. Access to the Father. That's what this is about. Through Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we both, which means we all. It means we don't have to rely on anybody else. Through Him, we all have access to the Father. You have the person you need to know for all eternity. To the Father. Salvation. Now let me explain something here. Looking at this verse backwards and forwards, salvation is from the Father through the Son applied by the Spirit. Service is by the Spirit through the Son offered to the Father. Okay? You see, the Trinitarian goal for the children of God is a real loving relationship with the Father. Jesus, in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, he's about to go to the cross. He's about to be resurrected and rise again and all that. He says, let me explain to you what the goal is. Let's turn there. John chapter 17. This should be a chapter you should really get down in your spirit. And I want you to see the end of it here. There's so much context here, but let's just look at it. Here's Jesus, his high priestly prayer. Chapter 17, verse 24. He says, "Father, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you love me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." That's the goal. That's the goal, is access, a relationship with the Father. That's why it says in Colossians 3:17, you do these things through Jesus, giving thanks to the Father. So you pray to the Father in the name of Christ. Think about this word, access. Think about the person that you really, you know, wish that you had access to, and whatever realm that it is. And think about this in eternal and unbelievable, glorious terms. Access means acceptance. You're safe. You know, husbands and wives, you need to say that to each other. You're in a safe place. You're safe here. Yes, you can tell me what you're feeling and all that. We can process this together. But, you know, we're in a safe place. You're in a safe place with God. Access means acceptance. Once you're introduced and once you're in the party, you're in. Isn't it like that? Oh, I've got so many terrible examples. You cut your ID to make you look like you're 21, then you got into the club. Once you're in, you're in. You know what I'm saying? You know, you do things and you think, I'm nervous about getting in. I don't know if they're going to choose me. I don't know if I'm going to be the one picked. Or let's say you're a longshoreman, and then, you know, they got 50 guys out on the dock here, and they're going to pick 20 of them to work. Once you're in, you're in. You're safe. You've got the job. God has introduced you. Jesus Christ has introduced you to the Father. You have access. Now you're in the throne room. You're in the heavenly court. You're safe. Safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. You're safe. But access doesn't mean just acceptance. It means availability. Availability. You're not alone. Worst case scenario, everybody leaves you and all that, but the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. And you're in His throne room. You are in His presence. You have access. You're not alone. Here I am in the heavenly court, just, you know, praising Jesus by myself. Elijah tried to do that. He said, "Here I am, only me." And he said, "There's 7,000 people that haven't bowed the knee to Baal." You may feel like you're the one that's out there all on your own, but God is with you. And you're playing to an audience of one. Access means acceptance. You're safe. Access means availability. You're not alone. Access means attention. You'll be heard. You'll be heard. Access means attention. Not just, you know, here you are at church and all that. I hope I get to talk to the pastor. No, I come up to you after and say, "Look, I know you have something. Let's talk." Attention. Isn't that what the children do? Isn't that what the adults do? We do something to scream out for attention. We think we're not doing that, but we is doing that. Access means acceptance. Access means availability. Access means attention. Access means action. Psalm 37:5 says it this way. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. You know somebody, and you know He's going to do something for you. See, we talk of wanting God to bless us, and He has. The whole Trinity has been involved for you from eternity. God's gone to such great lengths to secure our salvation, He's given access into the greatest relationship anyone could possibly have. You think about relationships. What do they say about relationships? The more you put into them, the more you get out of them. You get out of it what you put into it. Amen? Well, God has put everything into His relationship with you. The whole Trinity. Now it's time for you to do the same. 2 Corinthians 5:15 tells us that Christ died for us so that we would no longer live for ourselves. But we instead live for Him. You can do it. You have access. Maybe these words that I'm about to say hold weight with you. Maybe they don't. But the more you do it, the more you'll know it. You can walk with God.
You can walk with God. He's given you access. What will I need, Lord, to really please You and to praise You and to pursue You today? You have access. You can do it. There's a lot of incredibly hard things to go through in life and things like that, but you have access to God Almighty. You can walk with God. Give all of your heart to Him. Pour everything into this relationship. Don't hold anything back. Don't leave anything on the table. God has gone all out. It's time for you to go all in. Father, we thank You for the access that we have. We thank You that we can come to You after a sermon and pray to You and say, make this more real in my life. Make me realize that when I stub my toe, I have access. Make me realize when someone hits me on the head, I've got access. Make me realize when I do something stupid, I have access. Make me realize that when I do something right but no one else notices, I have access. Make me realize that whatever I need, whatever I want, I have access. But help us to understand that access is meant to turn us to be more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who introduced us to You. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Father, help us to be more like Jesus Christ. Help us to be like He was and even say, Father. Help us to know what that really means. We thank You, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.